Chapter 49. Skippy! The bridge lights were blinking on and off. The main display was just plain dead. Artificial gravity was fading, and I just felt wrong. Like the atoms of my body no longer wanted to be attached to each other. Through a splitting headache and a wave of nausea, I choked out, "What the hell?" "Joe, I got good news and bad news. My attempt to hack into this Sentinel's matrix appears to have succeeded. What I do not know is whether that will have any effect on others of its kind. Nothing I can do about that now. Bad news is we're trapped. The Sentinel has caught us in some sort of null space field, basically a bubble where the laws of physics that govern your local space-time don't work anymore. The ship's structure is coming apart. I'm trying to compensate, but get us out of here! I can't. None of the ship's systems operate properly in this bubble. Joe, please shut up. We don't have much time. This Sentinel is going into hibernation, and it is pulling us in with it. There is nothing I can do to stop the process. I fear that other objects in the area could be pulled in also. Get a message, I fought my rebellious stomach, to Chang. Nagata, Chang kept his eyes riveted on the Flying Dutchman's bridge display. What happened? Where did they go?
I do not know. Valkyrie jumped. I do not... Oh, that is not good.
What is that? Chang asked, half rising from his chair in horror.
One moment, the ship's AI pleaded. It appears the Sentinel detected the far end of Valkyrie's jump wormhole and moved it. The event horizon was repositioned, and the wormhole forced open while Skippy tried to kill the power feed. The ship was pulled through into that.
What is it? Dancing near the tip of the Sentinel's tentacle was a glowing orb, flickering through all colors of the visible spectrum, pulsing as it expanded and contracted, slowly drawing closer to the Elder Machine.
It appears to be some sort of energy field. Skippy is sending a message to us. It is extremely low bandwidth. Something like Morse code, she added, surprised. The message is...
She paused.
Run?
Senior Colonel Chang was torn, though he knew his ship could not do anything to help the trapped Valkyrie. Running away just felt wrong, no matter what the circumstances. The mission. The Flying Dutchman's mission. Was to observe and report. They had observed. They couldn't report unless they survived. The Maxalks, knowing that something had gone horribly wrong, were already breaking off their attack, those ships capable of moving under their own power beginning to turn and burn while they still could. Ships and shattered pieces of ships that were closer to the Sentinel were being pulled toward it as a distortion expanded around the Elder Machine and its outline wavered and became indistinct.
Pilot, get us out of here, Chang ordered.
Awkwardly, for the Dutchman version 5 was still not a nimble spacecraft, the former star carrier spun around and surged away at maximum power, weaving to keep distance from the Maxalt's ships that were also flying outward, and painting the Dutchman's hull with their targeting sensors.
The rift is shrinking. Shrinking. Gone,
Nagatha reported with a catch in her voice.
Is there any sign of Valkyrie?
Chang asked hopefully, his eyes focused on the bridge display. The Maxalks had launched missiles at his ship, so far without success, as Nagatha's command of the point defense system had those guns picking off the incoming weapons before they could do any damage. The enemy had to know their missiles were unlikely to stop the human starship. All they were trying to do was slow the Dutchman's progress so it would fall within range of the damping fields projected by the leading Maxalks ships. It was a race. The Dutchman was faster than anything other than the pursuing destroyers, but the enemy ships were coming in at an angle, preventing the Dutchman from racing away in a straight line. The wild card that no one could control was the distortion generated by the Sentinel. It also prevented ships from jumping. Now the Sentinel was gone.
No sign of Valkyrie. 17 Maxalt ships were also pulled into the rift. I am not detecting any remnant of their presence either. Colonel Chang, I believe we must consider Valkyrie to be lost. The ship, the crew, will not survive the conditions in that layer of space-time.
Skippy could survive, though. He told us most of his mass is in another dimension.
Most of his mass is there, yes. However, his connection to our local space-time has been severed. He has lost what he called his anchor in this layer of reality. I am afraid," she choked up. "They are all lost to us."
Chang stiffened, aware the eyes of the crew were on him. "We fight on, then. Nagata, have you been able to map the distortion effect?" She didn't answer immediately. "Nagata," he prompted softly.
"Excuse me, Colonel Chang,"
she said through sniffles, as if the AI had been sobbing.
"I am experiencing difficulties."
"We all are," he assured her. "We are a team, Nagata. We will get through this together."
"Yes," she sniffled again. "The distortion effect is fading. Recommend we adjust course as noted."
He glanced at the display. The disruption field was unevenly distributed. She was directing the ship toward an area where the effect was weaker. According to her analysis, flying to that location would allow the Dutchman to jump almost 3 minutes earlier than the pursuing Maxalt ships. "Pilot, adjust course. Nagata, does the enemy have the ability to map the distortion effect?"
"Yes, though not with my level of accuracy. They will, however," she warned, "see our course adjustment and follow us."
"Let them try." He laughed quietly. His ship's engines were running at 105%, in danger of overheating. It was a risk he was willing to take to keep ahead of the certain death behind and around them. "Calculate a jump to—"
"Colonel," she interrupted, "the Maxalt's commander is trying to contact you."
"The commander? Her ship was destroyed by the—"
"Not the task force commander, Admiral Reichert."
"He is here?" There had been no mention of the hegemony's supreme military leader being on the scene. Why had the famously arrogant Reichert concealed his presence? Bishop had communicated only through whatever her name was. Chang couldn't recall. It didn't matter. "Where is he?"
"His ship is at a distance of 3 light seconds.
She highlighted a dot on the display. Chang grunted. The undisputed leader of the hegemony military had kept his flagship at the rear, farthest from the Sentinel. He must have known most of the task force would be destroyed. To retain control of the battle, a commander has to be alive, so Reichert had made the correct decision. Still, it took a very coldly professional person to watch his people die and do nothing. Chang prepared himself to be pissed off. He couldn't imagine experiencing any other emotion when talking with one of the galaxy's greatest assholes. "Play the message. Audio only." "Human." The disdain was clear, even through the translator. "Our business here is concluded. Therefore, our ceasefire agreement is terminated." Chang's mind automatically responded with the Chinese equivalent of, "You think?" when he felt the deck rock slightly as the point defense system exploded another incoming missile. Or more than one. How should he respond? A brief smile flashed across his face. WWBD. What would Bishop do? Imagine that. "Admiral Reichert, one phase of the operation has been concluded successfully with assistance from your valiant people." He reminded himself not to gag as he spoke those words. The crews of the task force ships had been insanely brave to attack a sentinel. It was not their fault that their leadership were cruel assholes. "There is no reason for hostilities," he added, watching the clock in the bottom left of the display that counted down to Nagatha's estimate of when the ship could jump away. Carrying on a conversation with a 3-second delay in each direction was awkward, even more so than if the delay was several minutes. With a longer delay, he would have recorded a lengthy message and took his time responding. With each side hearing the other's words with only a 3-second lag, it was instinctive to speak as if it were a real-time conversation.
"The operation is over,"
Reichert's reply came 6 seconds later, telling Chang that his opponent knew exactly what he wanted to say.
"As is the time when your species is allowed to recklessly interfere in events of this galaxy. Your usefulness to us is over. Thus, we will not tolerate your existence any longer. No doubt you will wish to protest uselessly, so I will explain the situation in simple terms that even you can understand. If the Skippy entity failed here, sentinels will inevitably ravage the galaxy, destroying all life. In that case, we will assure that humanity is the first species to become extinct. If the Skippy Entity's efforts were successful, and the Sentinels currently active go back into hibernation, that gives all of us only a short reprieve. Your people foolishly planted Elder weapons in our territory, on timers that only the Skippy can reset. Since he is gone now, the timers will expire, and there will be only two possibilities. Either the activation of Elder devices causes Sentinels to awaken again, or it does not. Again, if the actions of humans are responsible for causing ancient machines to scour the galaxy, we will assure your people are the first to die. If triggering Elder weapons does not alert Sentinels, then... He paused. Your threats against us are impotent, and there is nothing to stop us from removing humans from existence, eliminating any future threat you may pose. There is no potential future in which we allow humanity to continue. Another pause. I await your response. Chang licked his lips while he thought. Whatever he said, he could not take too long. A lengthy delay would be seen as weakness. You are assuming that Skippy is permanently lost to us. You can't know that to be true. I don't have to, Reichert said immediately. You know the Skippy is gone. You would never be fleeing the area if there were any hope of recovering the entity. Shit, Chang breathed, lifting his thumb off the transmit button. The damned hegemony admiral was correct. He had been played. The display was showing the distortion around the ship was weakening rapidly, while damping fields extending from Maxalt's ships were encroaching. Nagata, can we jump?
If current conditions remain stable, we can jump in 7 seconds.
7 seconds. Six. There wasn't anything useful he could say during that short time, and he would not risk his ship and crew by delaying for no good purpose. Pilot, jump option Bravo. Execute when ready.
The Flying Dutchman disappeared to emerge 16 light hours away, a short jump to avoid straining the drive coils.
Status of the drive? Chang asked.
Nominal.
Nagatha's reply was terse, her voice still strained with emotion.
Plot a course to the... He checked the display. Wormhole designated Gamma 378.
We are not going to fob Gia Yuguan, but the...
Jaguar will be safe for a while longer no matter what happens. The Maxalks now plan to conduct a direct attack on Earth soon. Reichert would not have told me their plan if they thought we had any possibility of stopping them. We need to warn our homeworld.
Colonel, both of the senior species already have established a blockade of your world, and we can't do anything to lift that blockade. How can we prevent an attack?
I don't know. He took a breath, then added, yet. But we are going to try.
Kinsta burst into his boss's office aboard the ECO cruiser. It never happened.
Sir, another one,
he blurted out excitedly. Captain Scarandum choked on the beverage he had just imbibed, slapping the desk with a claw. He choked again, catching his breath.
Kinsta, unless you are inquiring whether I want another drink.
He looked down in dismay at the stain on the front of his uniform. The nanofabric would mostly clean itself, so the liquid dribbling down toward his thorax was only briefly embarrassing.
This had better be extremely important.
Another sentinel is confirmed to have gone into hibernation. Kinsta didn't even blink, knowing by that time that his boss was more bark than bite. This one was in the middle of an attack on a Torgula mining colony. It somehow used the magnetic field of the planet to induce quakes that were tearing the world apart when it suddenly halted, pulled back into the space-time rift it came from, and disappeared. It happened within a standard day of the three other Sentinels we know about, also apparently going back into hibernation. That can't be a coincidence. They did it. The humans somehow deactivated all the Sentinels.
That we know of, Scarandum grunted.
Sir?
His aide's disappointment was so evident the ECO captain took pity on him.
Kinsta, this is indeed most excellent news.
Good. Then, to a point. In case you didn't read the fine print of the wagers you placed, Central Wagering will not declare the matter settled until it is confirmed that there are no Sentinels active in the galaxy.
Yes, it may take a few weeks for data to arrive from remote areas. Then, no, you aren't listening. Central wagering, which, after all, gets paid by skimming the profits of bookies and therefore protects them, will not authorize payout until it is confirmed there are no sentinels active anywhere. Not just in the obvious, highly populated, well-traveled places. They will use any rumor of a sentinel sighting, and there will be many of them, to delay settling the issue. Even if what you said is true and the humans accomplished a miracle, it will likely be years, even decades, before central wagering is forced to issue a closure statement.
Oh, Kinsta sputtered.
That is admirably clever, yes. You do know that the Ethics and Compliance Office was originally part of central wagering, right? Before the fleet saw that our unique skill set could be better used to benefit society as a whole.
I knew that. Kinsta's antennas twitched, agitated.
I didn't know you didn't listen to me, Scarandum chided his aide. I told you those wagers were a losing proposition. He had briefly considered placing a wager, mostly for amusement, but saw the odds being offered were insulting. Since the terrifying news that the first sentinel was awake and active, the best action available, really the only action anyone wanted to talk about, was whether humans could stop the Elder killing machines. There were numerous side bets about whether humans were responsible for awakening the ancient terrors, but everyone agreed that would be difficult to prove unless the humans were stupid enough to admit their culpability. There were wagers available about that also. But the money pouring in faster than bookies could adjust their odds was about whether civilization in the galaxy would survive. Or not. The money was heavily on the survival side. After all, the betting public knew that if sentinels wiped out all life, bookies would never have to pay out, those sleazy bastards. Scarandum had to agree that taking money from suckers and never having to pay out was a solid business plan. Jarapta society had not seen such frantic wagering action since the astonishing revelation that humans were flying the ghost ship and had gotten up to a whole lot of other nonsense that previously had been considered impossible. The central wagering office back then had briefly paused taking any new action while bookies adjusted to the new reality. First, many well-respected and experienced bookies saw their entire business wiped out overnight, forcing central wagering to step in to uphold the integrity of the wagering system by making good on some extremely long-odds prop bets that had paid off with spectacular results. Central wagering had to request an immediate and massive bailout from the federal government, resulting in cutbacks to even vital services. Some battle groups found themselves confined to orbit as the government temporarily lacked the funds to pay for fuel. While waiting to see if central wagering would extend credit to rebuild their most honorable businesses, the bookie community collectively sat around stunned, drinking copious amounts of adult beverages and asking each other their equivalent of WTF. Next, they sank into a deep depression that was possibly not helped by the adult beverages they'd consumed. Then they agreed that the definition of improbable they relied on to calculate odds was perhaps not entirely accurate and perhaps was even totally fucking useless. Finally, they assisted Central Wagering's powerful AIs to revise the algorithms that defined what was and was not possible to account for pesky humans who had screwed up a good thing for everyone. Unfortunately, while the bookies were happy that they would not again be wiped out by whatever stupid thing the humans did next, the wagering public took longer to mentally adjust to the new and much less favorable odds they were being offered. The economy plunged into a recession as the public began withholding money or placing wagers with sketchy, unregistered bookies whose action was not backed by central wagering. Fortunately, several well-publicized scandals in which black market bookies disappeared with money they took from suckers reminded the public why central wagering had been set up in the first place, and Jarapta society began returning to normal. Remembering his part in the Great Recovery, as it was called, made Ottavio Scarandum smile. The Ethics and Compliance Office had been temporarily assigned to assist central wagering by posing as unregistered bookies to demonstrate the value of the guarantees offered by central wagering. The best part of that assignment was after the taxes imposed by ECO, the home fleet, and the admiral of his section, Scarandum got to keep the money he had fleeced from morons. He had done his civic duty and made a healthy profit at the same time.
When the first sentinel was detected, most species panicked as they saw the awakening of an elder killing machine as their inevitable doom. The Giraptha, figuring there was nothing they could do about the situation, saw the event as offering juicy action and flooded their bookies with more money than they could handle. The prospect of the end of all life was in a way great for business.
"Don't worry, Kinsta. Your money is safe," he assured his crestfallen aide. "You just won't see it for a while."
"Until I get the money, I can't use it to place future wagers."
"Well, you could always borrow against it," Scarandum suggested.
"Right," Kinsta snorted. "Do you know how much interest Central Wagering charges for borrowing against future payouts?"
"I didn't say it was a good idea."
"Maybe you'll get lucky and General Bishop will announce whether they really have put all Sentinels back into hibernation." "I am not holding my breath for that to happen," Kinsta muttered. "No one has heard from Valkyrie since the Sentinels began going back into hibernation."
"Wait, what?"
He had not heard that important detail. "That was mentioned in your daily briefing, sir."
"I know that."
Scarandum found himself in the unfamiliar position of being defensive. In fact, he had skipped over that part of the briefing packet because it was a lack of information.
"Is Valkyrie simply busy somewhere, or are you implying that ship is missing?"
"I am not implying anything, sir. Homefleet Intelligence is officially at the first stage of becoming concerned because they have heard rumors that the Rindaloo are curious about lack of communication from Bishop. The humans are not known for humbly remaining quiet about their accomplishments."
"That is true." Scarandum's antennas began twitching. "Is Homefleet Intel picking up any chatter from the Maxulks?"
Kinsta paused to dip his own antennas in a gesture implying that information was also in the daily briefing.
"Nothing."
"Nothing? You mean nothing specific about the location or activities of Valkyrie?"
"No, sir. I mean nothing. The Maxulks have gone unusually silent since the humans apparently destroyed the Sentinel near the Bosphorok world they call Peeny."
"There was a rumor the Maxulks were requested to assist Valkyrie," Scarandum said, half to himself.
Kinsta snorted.
"A ridiculous rumor. Bishop would certainly never—"
"I have a bad feeling about this."
Scarandum sat forward on his couch, activating the touchscreen built into his desk.
"I may be wrong, but I have a responsibility to act."
"By alerting Homefleet Intelligence?" Kinsta asked with excitement.
Well, yes, of course, that too," he said as he tapped on the console. "I meant my responsibility to myself. I need to place a few wagers right now."